So just coming back to the idea of person. So from a spiritual perspective, every birth is a birth to fulfill a use in the grand man. So it's not personal. At this level, everything is personal. We work from an instrument that we identify as something real, whereas the sense of self we have is a gift. But the problem is we confuse it and make it something it's not. We make it something real, and that then becomes what we term person. So angels have no concept, we're told, of anyone on earth, or like all the historical elements that are so important for our personal history and our sense of identity. That all goes. It all drops away. And what's left is not a person delighting in anything, but just the delight of use. This is a really difficult thing, I think, for us at this level of life to get a hold of, because everything is self-referenced for us. But for angelic consciousness, it's not self-reference, it's Lord-referenced. So there is this sort of sense of me and mine and what's going to happen to me and where am I going to end up and all of this. And it's all built around a concept of myself, which has no basis in reality. And the more that it is seen not to have a basis in reality, the more freedom is experienced. And so it's the belief in myself that creates a world that corresponds to that, where people are against me. You know, you can run through all the different kind of scenarios that pass through our minds constantly, where we make judgments on others and believe others are making judgments on us. And all of that is going on. Whereas in effect, that world is delusional. It's a delusional world, and that has to be peeled back. And that's why the word is so important, because the word provides the only objective standard by which anything can be seen for what it truly is without proprium jumping in and twisting it once more to its own advantage and trying to preserve its life, which is actually death. So what lives cannot die. What is truly alive cannot die. And it's because we attribute life to what is death that we experience the suffering of death. Whereas what's actually happening is what is dead is being revealed as dead. You know, what we held to be living is not living if it's dying. So, you know, the only thing that lives is the Lord. And everything that is connected to the Lord is alive. So good and truth are living things. They're not abstract, ethereal thoughts and feelings outside of a mind. You know, they are substance and form. And these things are really true. Whereas our natural way of thinking about these things is that thoughts are kind of just emanating. That's not how it is. Every thought, every affection reveals the state of the substance. That is. And so, you know, the way that we have taken in these truths over the years, we have taken them in through a lens of I and myself. So they are all misconstrued. And that is what has to be sorted out. That's what's going on here. Egypt is as much a part of that landscape as Goshen is. There's no separateness in these things. What's happening is that what has been understood of the word from the standpoint of a belief in myself is being exposed now. That's what these plagues are. It's not that these plagues come upon a me. It is that me is these plagues. It is the pestilence. That's the reality here. And that's what we have real difficulty seeing because of our immersion in person, place, time, and space as the reality by which we assess and judge everything, whereas none of that works in this realm. All of it has to be recast so that person, place, time, and space are no longer at the center, but they form the boundary, which is what they are, the ultimates. And what's at the center is the dynamic, living Lord who is all that is good and true. So that is what is moving out through the agency of Moses, which is the truth from good, which is Jehovah, making its way down and exposing what, so far as the natural mind is concerned. It's just totally corrupt. And that's what's being revealed through engaging with the Word. So when we engage with the Word, this process unfolds. There's no question. It has to unfold exactly as it's described. You know, this is what the Lord has spoken. And so in that sense, we have an anchor, right? When things are totally chaotic and disruptive and limiting and all of those things that we experience, the only thing we can do is just keep coming back to the Word, working with what the Word offers, knowing that it can carry us, that the Lord undertakes to carry us through the process. If He initiates the process, He provides the means and the end will be realized. Like, it can't but be that. And so, yeah, we go along for the ride. So here we are. So there are things that are serviceable, even if they are for a particular set of states. You know, my thought always returns to what happened with Jacob and Laban and that statement there that so long as there's some good present, some good intention present, some will that sort of aligns with the principles of loving the Lord and loving the neighbor, even where that's done for self-centered reasons, that can still be a vehicle for remains to be implanted. It has to be, because otherwise it wouldn't be possible. And remains are implanted moment to moment. It's not just happens in a block and that's it. It's something that's continually happening, because that which remains is that which the Lord can use for the end, which is the regeneration of the human mind. And so in that Laban story, even falsities can be used as truths, can serve as truths, so long as there's something of good still present.